In the overarching section of prohibitory commandments, lavim, negative commandments, and specifically, you know, it all breaks down into different categories. You've got positive commandments, mitzvahs asay, positive commandments, which we discussed a long time ago. Then we have the next category is lavin, negative commandments. And then under lavin, the negative commandments, you've got two categories. You've got a lav sheyesh b'maisa, lav shein b'maisa. A lav sheyesh b'maisa is a negative commandment which involves an action. So for example, eating non-kosher, that's a negative commandment, or prohibitory commandment which involves an action. And that's going to be coming up later on, those types of commandments. And then you have negative commandments which are through omission, by not doing an action. Negative ones which don't involve an action. But the chiddush of the Rabbeinu Yonah, by others as well, not just Rabbeinu Yonah, is that within the category of a negative commandment, a prohibitory commandment, which involves no action, is also thoughts, negative thoughts, even though one could construe thoughts and also speech as well as negative commandments of action. We deem halachically thoughts and mental states and emotions and speech, they all fall into the category of non-action commandments. So they are negative. So even though it says don't speak Lashon Hara, and you go ahead and speak Lashon Hara, you could construe that as being a negative commandment through an action. It's really called, not called an action. It's called a non-action. And so we've gone through all of those categories. We've gone through all of those categories. We've gone through all of those categories. And we've spoken about thoughts, sins of thought, sins of speech, and now we're in the third category of negative commandments of non-action, which is more resonant in terms of the terminology, and that is negative commandments of non-action, i.e. do not refrain from performing this action. Don't be complacent, don't hold yourself back, what the Torah says, with certain commandments, don't be lazy, essentially. Don't hold back. Don't restrain yourself from performing this particular mitzvah. Don't be lazy. Don't be complacent. Don't neglect doing this commandment. So if I sit back and I don't do this particular mitzvah, this commandment, so I've violated a negative commandment, a prohibitory commandment, through a non-action because I didn't do it. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Right? So for an example of this, we'll see shortly, is don't be tight-fisted about giving tzedakah, right? Give tzedakah, don't be tight, don't hold yourself back from doing it. So if I sit back and I refrain from giving tzedakah, I'm supposed to give tzedakah, so I violated a negative commandment. I've done a prohibitory, I have not done what I'm supposed to do, so that's a negative commandment of complacency. Now, every positive commandment really has that to it.
Mm-hmm.
All the positive commandments, really implicit in every positive commandment, is a requirement not to be lazy about doing it, right? However, it's interesting that with certain commandments, certain mitzvahs, with most mitzvahs in fact, most mitzvahs don't have an additional injunction associated with it. So for example, blowing the shofar Rosh Hashanah, right? It says blow the shofar Rosh Hashanah. The Torah doesn't say, and don't neglect to blow the shofar, right? Obviously, you shouldn't neglect to blow the shofar, hear the shofar. But the way that the Torah phrases the mitzvah, blowing the shofar, and many of the positive commandments is do this, do this, do this, do this mitzvah, do that mitzvah, put on tefillin, and it said, pray, sit in the sukkah, all of these mitzvahs, it just says do these particular mitzvahs. It doesn't add to it, and don't refrain, and don't be complacent about it, with the exception of about at least seven. There's at least seven commandments in the Torah where the Torah says do this, and then doubles down on it, and says, and don't not do it, right? Do this mitzvah and don't not do it, right? And that's the section, that's what we're in right now, that's the next section, is in the words of Rabbeinu Yonah, it's called Azhoras HaTuluyas B'Kafitzas Yod. These are, and this is segment 67. Segment 67, these are injunctions which are associated, which are connected to being tight-fisted, by holding back, by keeping your hand closed and refraining from an action. So he lists seven altogether. There could be more than that. I didn't look. I was scanning through the the list of the mitzvahs in the Sefer Achilah to see if there are others. There could be others as well. But as he said at the beginning of the this gate, the only mitzvahs which he's going to be which he's focusing on in this gate are the mitzvahs which require a little bit more attention. So these, if there are a few more, but these are the ones which are going to be listed in the section which people need a little bit more of a push, you know, a kick up the backside to kind of go ahead with these mitzvahs. And again, these are all mitzvahs. These are set. We're going to see seven mitzvahs which are positive commandments, mitzvahs you have to do, and then the Torah doubles down on it and says, don't do it. So the first one I mentioned is giving tzedakah, which actually, that's the second one over here. I'm just going to give you the overview of the entire thing. We'll go back into each one in more detail. But the first one is, and this is in segment in the paragraph 67, is there's actually two of that, is lending money. Lending money, that's a positive commandment. Lend money, the verse says, lend money, right? Lend and give to others who ask you for loans. And then the Torah says, don't not lend them, but don't be tight-fisted. Just going to just do an overview first. And then also in paragraph 67, he mentions giving tzedakah too. Give tzedakah, we know there's a positive commandment to give tzedakah. And the Torah doubles down and says, and don't be lazy, don't be complacent, don't not give the tzedakah. Then we go to paragraph 68. This is giving money that's owed. If you owe money to somebody, don't be lazy and complacent about not giving the money and paying wages on time. Don't be lazy and complacent about paying wages on time. And then number 69 is don't be negligent and complacent about expedient burial. Bury the dead quickly, right? This is a very, very short piece of it in 69, which is a one line, is quoting the verse that they have to do a quick burial as quickly as possible. Burial shouldn't be delayed in halacha. And the Torah says, don't be lazy or don't be complacent. Don't let it, the Torah phrases, don't let the corpse remain overnight. And it's the source for this, for expedient burial. And then number 5 in paragraph 70 is rescuing people. Rescuing people in situations of need. Again, positive commandment to help people in need, and all of the different facets of the word, but he breaks this down, rescuing people's property. Don't be lazy, close your eye, don't turn a blind eye to rescuing people's property. Don't turn a blind eye to saving people's lives. Don't turn a blind eye to helping and giving advice to people who are in need when they're going through challenges. This is that's also included in this. And he goes on to talk about without going into the details right now, then also, well, I'm going to go back to the details afterwards, but then in paragraph 72 is the sixth mitzvah in this category of reproving people. Don't be negligent in reproving people who need to be reproved or rebuked and be told that they're doing something wrong. And that's number 6. And then the seventh mitzvah in this section is the last one in paragraph 74 is don't be negligent and complacent about fulfilling promises. So when you make a promise, when you make a neder, make a commitment, a pledge of tzedakah, then there's a positive commandment. Again, these are all positive commandments, but then double down with a negative commandment of don't be negligent about doing them. So when you make a pledge of tzedakah, you have to pay the pledge. And it says, don't delay in paying the pledge. Do not delay in paying the pledge. So the theme in general of this section is complacency. It's complacency with certain mitzvahs being highlighted. But complacency in general is a very, very important virtue. Or not a good virtue, but it's an important thing not to be complacent. So I was thinking about this yesterday when I was looking at this, when I was preparing for this. So I was just thinking about complacency, you know, because that's really the theme about complacency, about just sitting back and just, you know, it's okay, you know, I'll get to it tomorrow. But how do we look, how do we understand complacency, and how do we, what's the, you know, the more philosophical, ethical, Musa approach to complacency? How is it described? What?
Laziness.
It's laziness, right? It's atzlus, it's laziness, right? It's the opposite of zrizus, of alacrity. So I began looking around, and there's a very, you know, phenomenal sefer, really a phenomenal sefer. This is called Ali Shore. This is Ali Shore. I've maybe quoted this before. A phenomenal, phenomenal sefer. It's quite a thick sefer as well, right? It's very dense. This, I would say, maybe this is one of the encyclopedias of good midos, of really not just midos, but also life in general. This was written by Rav Shlomo Volbe. That's a picture of him over here, right? That's you can see him over there. So he was 5674. He's a part time doing the translations. Okay, 5674. Okay, but he died about maybe 10-15 years ago. But it's a very famous Musa Sefer. It's Musa Hashkafa. It's a very, very tremendous encyclopedic presentation of all sorts of different topics of personal growth. Anyway, so in this section, he has a section over here about Zrizas. So I wanted to share some of these really beautiful, phenomenal, very inspiring ideas, which speaks to this idea about not being complacent and getting to the things we need to get to without delay and without pushing it off. Right, pushing things off. Sometimes, God forbid, we push our things off, our responsibilities, until it's too late. We don't know when our end is going to come, so therefore, don't take chances. So so he quotes over here from the Shari Kedusha, Rav Chaim Vital. He was the student of the Arizal, but he lived in Tzfat and was very, very famous Kabbalist. So he has in the Shari Kedusha, he talks about Midos in general and discussing the foundations of Midos, the roots of Midos in general, the overarching principle and concept of Midos. And he says that the Inyan of Midos, the concept, the whole subject of Midos, character traits, ethics, etc., They're all rooted in the lower part of the soul. In other words, the higher part of the soul is the part of the soul which is very connected to spiritual heights, spiritual supernal worlds. And it's that higher part of the soul which mitzvahs have their address towards. Our mitzvahs, which we do, they elevate the higher part of the soul. They bring the higher part of the soul back to its source. But in terms of midos, which are universal for all human beings, whether you're Jewish or not Jewish, so it's nothing to do really with the higher part of the soul. Being kind and being generous and being humble, these are dimensions of our behavior which are connected, are rooted more in the lower part of the soul. Right? These are more abstract ideas. But he says that all of matter is made up of the four elements: fire, air, water, and earth. These are the four foundations of the more human part of ourselves, the human part of our soul. So those four foundations, fire, air, water, and earth, they all radiate out to express themselves with different midos, different characteristics. So we're not going to go through all of that, but the one which is relevant for our discussion is this yesod of afar, the foundation of earth. Mm-hmm. So he writes as follows: Memenu, the foundation, the earth element of the lower part of the soul, the earth part of the soul, is from it comes atzvas, comes sadness. So afar, the root, the foundation of afar, of earth inside the soul, the lower part of the soul, that is, the nefesh part of the soul, from that comes atzvas, comes sadness. Bechol protoprotov, in all of its different facets. V'toladata achas, and one of the manifestations of sadness is atzlus, is laziness and complacency. L'kayim ha-Torah v'ha-mitzvahs, to fulfill Torah and mitzvahs. V'pnei itzvono, now, sadness doesn't have to be depression, but it just means like a certain like kind of melancholy, despairing kind of sense, like a low-spirited feeling, which comes from the yisod, the foundation of the, don't feel so kind of like happy, right? Mm-hmm. He said, "Bipnei itzvono al asogas kinyonei hevli olam," because I can't get what I want to get. Mm-hmm. I don't have what I want to have. I'm not able to have the house I would like to have. I'm not able to get the car I'd like to get. I'm not able to get the job which I really like to get. And I've got all these, things I want. I can't get it. I can't get it. It makes you sad. Makes you down. So it's because it's a sadness over the inability to be able to reach and achieve the things, the kinyonim, the acquisitions of this world, is the source of sadness, and also al yisurim habayim olav, and also the difficulties which we experience as well, the difficulties of life, the inability to be able to achieve and reach the different acquisitions we want in life, makes us down. That's the sadness. And then as a result of that, you know, you're not happy. You're not happy with anything you have. And you're just down. And obviously you don't have an enthusiasm and an oomph and an energy and a zrizus to do things in general. You're not even satisfied with what you do have. And it leads to laziness. So sadness, like, you know, again, sadness has a big range of what it looks like. It can reach a level of, you know, deep depression, obviously, but sadness can just be some, you know, okay, you're happy, okay, you know, I'm not, slothfulness of like slow movement because you're not so happy. That's the equivalent, or that's what results in atzlus. So again, atzvus, which is sadness, a low melancholy kind of disposition, to ladata. The result of that is atzlus l'kaim Torah mitzvahs. It's a laziness, it's a complacency to fulfill Torah mitzvahs. It leads to a complacency to fulfill Torah mitzvahs. So he cites this, and he quotes this, and he says that this is the midah which we really need to, you know, be working on, is our joy in life. Our joy in life and the joy in life, which will lead to more of an enthusiasm and the opposite of complacency. He quotes here also the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, famous Mishnah. Ruda ben Tema says, "Heve oz kenomer, be bold like a leopard. Kal kenesha, be light like an eagle. Rutz katzvi, speedy like a deer. Gibor Kari, strong and powerful like a lion. Lassus Rotzen of Yichashipashan, to fulfill the will of your creator, Father in heaven." Pirkei Avos, Ethics of the Fathers, right? Be light, be bold like a leopard, light like an eagle, speedy like a deer, strong like a lion. These are the four kind of, you know, ways to approach life. So he writes as follows. He says, what are these four traits of boldness? So Azus, he says, boldness, we're referring to Azus the Kedusha, we're talking about boldness of holiness, of for holy things. That's what we're discussing. And it translates into, it means, it's the Koch Hizoma, it's the power of conviction. Have conviction, to have conviction. The first step in any endeavor is to have conviction and desire and resoluteness. I want to do this. I want to do this. That's boldness like a leopard, to have conviction to do this particular task. That's number one. After a person has accepted upon himself to fulfill the particular task which he wants to achieve, the next thing is he needs now kalos. That's the next one. Be light like an eagle. What's light like an eagle? Lightness in the ability to not be bogged down by the difficulties involved in being able to do it. Light-footed, kind of like to be light and be able to rise up quickly and perform the task which needs to be done, because I think we can all relate to it. You can have a boldness and a conviction and a desire to do something, and when push comes to shove, we're stuck. We've got like cement feet. Mm-hmm. We've got cement feet, and we can't get up. We need that lightness to be able to step out, like quickly lift ourselves up and to get out of it. And then after that, performing the task requires an ongoing effort of zrizus, of running through the task, running not to the point of making mistakes, but running through it like a deer, running through to the end of the task like a deer, rotz katzvi like a deer. And the last one is always throughout the entire mission, the entire endeavor, to be strong like a lion, because that strength of a lion gets you through to the finish line. Right? That's the sequence. But he asks, he says, what does it mean to be light like an eagle? Like an eagle is so light. Like, what does that mean? Like, it's a very big animal. It's a big bird, right? I think it's the biggest bird, right? The biggest bird with the biggest nose. Okay, it's a big bird. I mean, not to be the biggest bird, right? But it's got a very big wingspan. It's a massive, very heavy bird, right? So what does it mean it's like light? What's the lightness? The answer is, it's light in the sense that it can easily go up to the highest heights of the sky. it has that. That's the lightness of it. Like, you know, the light, you know, balloons, you know, fly up to the sky because they're light, right? So obviously, an eagle has a lightness because it goes to the highest, you know, height in the sky. So it's light, but yet at the same time, it's a very heavy bird. So what lifts it up? That's the physiology of the bird. That's how it was made to be able to go up to the height. How does that apply to us, though? What is it? What's the lightness? Let me read what he says. He says that as it applies to us, if we have to mimic the lightness of the eagle, he says, "V'hine ha'adam hu kavid ma'od." Also, a person is very heavy. We're heavy. Ki afrius achumrius gas, because the physicality is coarse, and it pulls us down. It keeps us from moving. Al kain, therefore, lo yachbet za'adu b'terachim alach. That's why we don't like to work hard. Keitzidu yachal isromeim kol kach b'kalas. How is a person able to lift himself up so easily and to be light like an eagle? Hu esha'ama yuruda ben tema. This is what yuruda ben tema says. Be light like an eagle. Gam l'cha, because you also, Adam, you human being, yesh, you have kenafayim, because I forgot to mention, it's the wings which lift the eagle up to the sky. We also have wings. We have wings too. Yesh kenafayim, because we have massive wings. We have massive wings which can also lift us up very, very high. Hishtamish bem, use your wings. Use your wings. They're not in your jacket, not hidden away. Lift yourself, use your wings. What are the wings? What are the wings which lift you up, which get you out of the being stuck in the mud, which gets you out of the complacency? What are the wings which get us out of our complacency? No. because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to do the Torah mitzvahs, which we need to have wings which make us not complacent in performing the Torah mitzvahs. Umahinakan, what are they? Joy. Mm-hmm. Simcha. Simcha is the wings. That's what Rav Chaim Vital said of it in Shari Kedusha. Because what's the midah which keeps us complacent? It's the sadness. It's like, and that's because I'm not happy with what I have. Because I'm not happy with what I have. I'm not happy, and therefore I'm lazy. I can't be bothered. I'm not moving myself. So the opposite is when a person is semer b'chalka, a person is focusing and is joyful, rejoices over every little thing which he has, brings him simcha, and simcha brings energy. And the energy, that simcha is the wings, is our wings, which can lift us very high and get us going and get us moving with our whatever tasks we have. He writes, he says, "Umaka ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu asli kol tzarcho." Someone who recognizes that Hashem has given you everything you need, Heim begashmias, heim beruchnias, whether in physical things or in spiritual things. Begashmias, when it comes to physical things, lachem lachol, food to eat. Begad lulbush, clothes to wear. You have clothes, you have food. Todah Hashem, thank you Hashem. That's with regard to gashmias. Ruchnias, spiritual assets. Kolach kocha shehu tzarech, all of the different faculties that you need, kedei liskos lechalko, in order to merit your portion in Torah, Hashem's given to you. Whatever you need to achieve your portion and your chelek in Torah mitzvahs, you have everything you need. Im kochosav shonim me'ela shal chaver, if they're different from someone else, gam chelka b'Torah shonim mezeh shal chaver, then that means that his chelek in Torah is different to yours. He osek b'Torah u'bavodas Hashem yisbarach. Behold, you are. He's involved in Torah mitzvahs. You're involved in it. Ashrei lo, how fortunate it is. That's being happy with all that we have, all of the different facets, the faculties and the things which we have. Then he continues his simcha b'mitzvah. And what is simcha in a mitzvah? Just a beautiful thing. He says. It says in one pasuk. It says ivdu es Hashem b'simcha, serve Hashem with joy. Another pasuk says ivdu es Hashem b'yira, serve Hashem with awe and trepidation. And reverence. How do we reconcile? How do they both go together? Says Rabbi Avu in the Medrash, "B'shasha ata omid lisbal." When you're standing up to pray, "Yehilibucha semech." When you're standing up to pray, your heart should be full of joy. Ki lelukim elyon ata ove, that you are serving the Creator of the universe. You should be filled with joy that you're serving the Creator of the universe. So serve Hashem with joy, serve Hashem with reverence, because when you serve Hashem with awe, you inculcate into your mind an awareness of the loftiness, the elevation, the awesomeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the source of joy, that I know I'm serving the most important person, most important being in the entire reality. I'm standing before Hashem, you're standing in Shemoneh Esrei, in an Amidah, when you're standing there. So in addition to asking for all of the different things you can ask for in the Shemoneh Esrei, think that you're standing before the creator of reality. I'm serving the creator of reality. What an honor, what a joy, what an honor, what a joy that brings. Hakaras Aromas, he says, recognizing the awesomeness. He homolida simcha emitas. That's what gives birth to true joy. This is the simcha, this is the inner simcha which accompanies anybody who has the merit to be able to feel and sense the absolute truth in Torah, in Emunah, and in Avodas Hashem, in the service of Hashem. But he says, so the point is that simcha is the wings, is our wings. Simcha is our wings to be able to become light like an eagle, to be able to perform the tasks we need to do. So we may have a conviction to do something, we may have a resolution to do it, and we could be learning about these mitzvahs here. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, of course. I'm gonna, you know, I really dig this. I really like this. This is really like, it's a really, I believe in this 1,000%. Okay, so put the money where your wet mouth is. You know, it's like, and one of the major reasons is because, you know, because there's a lot of, I mean, there's, maybe it's other reasons too, but this is one of the reasons. There's a lack of simcha. There's a lack of joy in life in general. And, you know, true, a lack of understanding of truly, there's also a lack of true appreciation of this. But even when you have a appreciation of these things, you've got to work on, we've got to tackle this complacency, this laziness, you know, of not getting up, not getting to it right away. So I thought that was an interesting introduction, a very important introduction to this section. So again, let's go back into the details. We'll do some of them today and some of them next week. But the first one is lending money. So that's lending money. So these are, you know, just basic halachas of Pasuk says, L'sik pasis yodacha ma'achicha hevyon, don't be tight-fisted with regard to your destitute brother. Hishamalacha, be cautious, pen yi yadava im levavacha b'liyayal lemo karvash nasa shevin. Now, the Pasuk is actually speaking specifically about the Shemitah year. Now, we know when the Shemitah year comes, when the sabbatical year comes, the law is that loans are absolved, the loans are cancelled. So if someone owes you money before the Shemitah, so then you're not allowed to collect the loan from him. He can't give it to you, you can't collect it from him. So there are halachas. I mean, he's not, let me just be clear about this. We're not, we got seven mitzvahs here, right? Now, if I would ask you how long would it take to go through seven commandments and study them? 7 weeks probably, right? So this is the purpose of the Sefer here. Just to remind ourselves, the purpose of this is not a detailed halacha lamaisa sefer, right? This is not the Sharjuv is not a detailed. If you want to know, in terms of the halacha, all the different practical halachas, Shulchan Aruch, right? I mean, this is not the purpose. We're not doing this in order to know all the details. It's just simply too difficult to do, and it would take us forever to go through the entire sefer. So, in terms of, they're trying to hold on to the general concept, and you know where. We can talk about details, we can talk about them where he mentions them, but in general, the concept is the idea, so in the Shemitah year, the sabbatical year, loans are cancelled. And the Pasuk says, despite the fact that there's a Shemitah year is coming and loans could get cancelled, you still shouldn't refrain, you still shouldn't be complacent about helping someone who's in need. You're not going to get the loan back. There are provisions made. There's a way to. There are ways. And what I'm going to do, there are provisions with the Besdin, with the Prusbul. There's a thing called the Prusbul. Leaving that to the side, but the point is, the message is, don't be complacent, even in the face of the loan getting cancelled. And to really illustrate how bad it is, he says there are two negative commandments associated with this. If you are tight-fisted and not lending the person, this is what it says about a Shemitah year. where it's so difficult that you can see the obstacle of landing the person because you're not going to get the money back, that a person should not refrain from lending because of the fear of losing it in the Shemitah, then af ki bezman shel yasid chovo, then certainly in a situation where you're not going to lose the debt, you're going to get paid back. Ki yigdol lecheta kovetz yodo melahalvos. It's terrible. It's a terrible sin to be tight-fisted, not lend when a person needs to borrow money from you. You have to do the due diligence, make sure he's a reliable individual, that he's something that you can trust, that he's going to be good for his work. You know, make a document. But this, like this, you know, it's really meanness. He describes this. This is called the pasuk calls it. It's as someone who has stinginess, a sudden stinginess, a tight-fistedness, and a difficulty in giving of himself and herself. It's called this tsar ayin melahalvos is called a devar bliyal. It's now some translate this as like an abominable, disgusting thing, but it's also translated as lawless. Like it's and what's mean lawless? The expression beli ya'al is the word. It's lawless. Why is it? Because beli ol. It's a contraction of two words, beli ol, which means you have no yoke of responsibility. You have no yoke of God over you. You don't feel a sense of law, of law, responsibility, adherence, subservience to the Almighty, because you just want to keep everything for yourself. You want to live your life for yourself. You're a selfish individual. It's called Belial. It's called lawlessness, meaning there's no yoke, there's no all, there's no responsibility on your shoulders. That's what it's called, being tight-fisted. The rabbis say, kol ma'alim einov, anyone who, now he talks about tzedakah as well. They're connected. Tzedakah too, anyone who closes his eyes from giving tzedakah is akin to idolatry. Again, the same idea, because it's no yoke. There's no response. Like you have cancelled God out of your life. It says over here, pen yedavah yimelavavach b'liyal. He proves it. He's just demonstrating the fact that also not giving tzedakah is also considered, you know, b'liyal, without all lawlessness, and it's like a avodah zarah. Brings an example of Pasuk and Tanakh and in the book of Samuel, Shmuel. And then the final point he makes on this part over here is Omri, the rabbi said, God lemalva la'ane, that even though we've spoken about these two mitzvahs here of giving tzedakah and lending, you should know, he says, that lending is actually a bigger mitzvah than giving tzedakah, right? Lending is a bigger mitzvah than giving tzedakah, because lending allows the person to now take the money and to invest the money and build a business from it and to become self-sufficient. So rather than just getting handouts, better to be able to facilitate and enable a person rather than disable a person. You know, obviously, if you know a person needs tzedakah, and that's, you know, big obligation, big mitzvah. But if you have a choice, if you have a way to be able to lend a person money in order to now become more self-sufficient, then you're actually getting a better mitzvah, and it's giving, you're having, there's more impact upon the individual. So that is the first one. That's the first, really there's two over here. Lending money, don't be complacent about lending, don't be complacent about giving tzedakah. And related to money, financial things, is paragraph 68, is also not paying up when you have to pay up, when you have debts, when you owe money to people in different contexts. Pasuk says, "Lusashok esriecha," which literally means "don't cheat your friend." I don't know what the Old Scroll says there. Don't cheat or don't wrong. I think it's don't wrong your friend. Don't cheat your friend. David said in Tehillim, "Lo verosha v'lo yishalem." A wicked person borrows and doesn't pay. So people who are negligent in paying up their debts, negligent in paying where people need to be paid, then is, again, it's the point is, the Torah is doubling down. Pay it, and don't neglect to pay it, because, you know, the Torah knows our nature, and we're complacent, because we're lazy, because we're not happy. We're not happy, and especially when it comes to monetary things, we're not happy with what we have, so therefore we don't want to give up what we have, so therefore, you know, that's why another reason why we should, it's saying don't be complacent. And in this context about paying people you owe, is part of this, is paying wages on time. Pasuk says, "Lusalin pu'lusachir itacha ad boka." Don't allow the payment, the wage of your worker, literally sleep overnight with you until the morning. So this is the way the Torah describes it, and it says that during the day, give him his wage, and don't wait for the sun to set. So the rabbis explain, basically, it's like this. He summarizes it again. No details given, just a general principle. A day worker can collect his wage all through the day, light hours, plus the night afterwards as well. That's the range of when, unless a contract has been written. If you make a contract, it's different. Something like default law is a day worker collects during the day and then the night as well. As chelayla gova kol alayla kol ayom, if he's a nighttime worker all night and then also the day as well. Echad schar behema ve'echad schar adam ve'echad schar kelim, it doesn't make overlayim al bal tolim, it doesn't make a difference whether you hire an animal from the person, you hire his vessels, you hire whatever you are renting from him or buying from, renting from him, you have to pay him for that. All of these fall under the rubric of bal tolim, not to delay in the wages. And also kablan is also contract work as well. Overlay bal tolim, there's also circumstances with contractors where no, it's not like a day worker, it's a contract. Also, there's laws about that as well, about delaying, the halachas about that. He doesn't go into it. He's teaching us in general, be aware, be mindful about these different categories of mitzvahs. And the next one, we'll just do this one, and we'll do those next week. So maybe we'll do one more. So the next one is very short. Lusalin nivlasa leith, don't allow the corpse to remain, to sleep over on the tree. Now this pasuk is speaking about a person who was executed by Beis Din. Yeah. So for a very short period of time, the body has to be displayed on the tree for people to see. That's a department to itself. But the relevance is, that law only applies just for one night, and one night only, because you have to right away bury the person. Because it says, a maleness mesa over belov, someone who you don't let it sleep over, right? It stays up for like an hour or two. What does the footnote say over there? Does it say over an hour or two? I'm not exactly sure the duration of how long.
It could be cascade.
I don't know if it says it. Whatever, a very short period of time. It doesn't say anything. Okay. Right, but the point is don't let it stay overnight on the tree, because if you do this, you're in violation of this negative commandment. Zulasi im helino l'chavoda, unless it's being left over for its honor. So I didn't read the footnote over there in the art scroll. There's no footnotes over here. What any elucidator
doesn't tell you how any, long.
Well, no, not that, but then just about
to allow important people to attend.
Let Rob read.
So that relatives of the deceased can participate in the funeral, or so that the funeral is well attended.
Oh, right. That's right. So as it applies to nowadays, right? This is the halacha. This something is that a burial has to be done as quickly as possible, unless relatives can't be there right away. So then you can, but it has, there's got to be the mindset. You can't, like this idea of leaving the body, for days and a week. It's like it's very, very wrong to do that. And it's something that you have to do this right, you have to do it right away. So that's expedient burial. So expedient burial is also something you shouldn't delay in, right? And maybe let's do one more over here. Let's do one more, and we'll do the, let's do one more, see how this...
One more with Zerisas.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say, I want to leave this, because it's such an important, let's leave this for today.
Okay.
We'll make it a bit short, because I don't want to rush this one and then feel and compromise it. Because the next two are really, very, very important topics about neglect, rescuing and Hatzalah, all these different mitzvahs of not neglecting and rescuing people's property, rescuing people's lives, and then reproving people, correcting wrongdoing, etc. It deserves its own attention. So we'll do that next week.